It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you. John Schmelk will join me a little bit later on the program. So glad you could chime in on the conversation and listen in with us as we will take you for the next 60 minutes talking about everything happening with respect to Giants football. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can also interact with us on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name M-E-D-O-W, is the Giants now looking ahead towards their matchup with the Oakland Raiders this weekend at MetLife Stadium. It will begin a stretch of three home games following the bye as the Giants are looking to extend this two-game winning streak. And probably the biggest news to come out of the Monday Night Football game affects the Giants somewhat, but that would be 2 weeks from now. There's speculation that Aaron Rodgers suffered a broken collarbone, a small fracture, and could miss about 3 to 4 weeks. So if that holds up to be true, the Giants probably are going to avoid having to face Aaron Rodgers, who they will meet on November 17th in week 11 of the NFL. So that could be a big break for the Giants. Who knows who will be under center for the Packers? Their backup quarterback is Seneca Wallace, but I'm sure over the next coming days they will explore other options to add more depth to the quarterback situation. But the Giants can't look ahead. They can't worry about the Green Bay matchup right now. The focus is getting prepared for the Oakland Raiders, trying to extend this winning streak, and then you'll start to look in the direction of the Green Bay Packers. And this is an Oakland team that is coming off a bad loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. And that just goes to show you how up and down sometimes the NFL can be. This was a Giants team that held the Philadelphia offense in check. Granted, Nick Foles didn't play because he was still recovering from a concussion, but they still had all of their weapons with respect to their running game and their receiving game, and the Giants kept them out of the end zone, at least from an offensive perspective. They did get in the end zone from special teams, but the Giants defense locked down this Eagles offense, and then the same Eagles offense goes out and lights up the Raiders for 49 points. So you really can't take any opponent for granted, and that's probably the old cliche in the NFL, but just because the Raiders got beat up, got banged up by the Eagles, doesn't mean it's going to be a cakewalk for the Giants. We've seen teams all of a sudden regroup in the span of a couple of days, and that's why I think the Giants, at least the ones who spoke to the media on Monday, said, listen, we know Philadelphia beat up Oakland. We've watched the film. We're going to continue to study that. But that doesn't mean that same Oakland Raiders defense is going to show up at MetLife Stadium. And West Coast teams have struggled when they have had to come cross-country. But you can't take for granted that all of these trends are going to play out that way come Sunday. On paper, this is a great matchup for the Giants. It's a great matchup because not only is Oakland hurting from a mental standpoint after a tough loss to Philadelphia, but physically they're hurting. Terrell Pryor left the game early against the Eagles, went back to get tests. It was precautionary. Darren McFadden is hurt once again, a hamstring injury. They don't necessarily have a top receiver within their group, but they have playmakers. They have Denarius Moore, who could stretch the field. They have Rod Streeter, who can also stretch the field, but they can use him underneath. They have not really found one go-to tight end since Brandon Myers left. And with respect to the running game now, Rashad Jennings is going to take over since Darren McFadden is banged up. They also have Marcel Reese. So it's probably going to be a tag team effort without McFadden in the picture. And the thing you have to take into consideration when you're talking about Terrell Pryor is he can beat you with the pass and he could also beat you with his legs. He's a very mobile quarterback. Now, the Giants have gone up against Michael Vick numerous times, so they have experience when it comes to going up against mobile quarterbacks. But, you know, this is the type of quarterback that if you give him an inch, he can take a mile. And that's what they have to be aware of. They have to be well disciplined with respect to their linebacking core, and I think a guy like John Beeson is going to be a key playmaker against Oakland because he's done so well against mobile running backs, against mobile quarterbacks, that you figure they can use him as the type of guy that could shadow with Terrell Pryor. They could also use your Jaquan Williams. These guys who have versatility, they know how to run east and west and north and south. And the Giants' defense has taken huge strides since they had a very rough start. They have shut down just about each and every top-name running back that they have gone up against the last few weeks. And now you're going to go up against an Oakland team, as I just mentioned, that probably does not have a primary running back, especially if Darren McFadden is not able to suit up. So there's no reason to think that the Giants can't pick up where they left off. And part of the reason why they've been so effective against the run is because of the arrival of John Beeson. Also because of the fact that the secondary is getting a little bit healthier. You know, Will Hill's return is probably just as big as John Beeson's arrival. A lot of people all point to, well, John Beeson has gotten this defense to click. Don't overlook the fact that once Will Hill returned from his suspension, Antrell Roll had more flexibility to be moved around, whether it be in that slots corner position or they can move him back into his normal safety spot. And that gave them a little bit more versatility in the secondary where you can mix and match with Ryan Mundy. Remember, this secondary was banged up heading into the season. They had Tyler Sash in the preseason. He got hurt. They parted ways with him. Cooper Taylor's been battling injuries since he arrived with the Giants. So they really only had Antrell Roll and Ryan Mundy, who were their two only healthy safeties. Then now you bring Will Hill into the mix. All of a sudden, you have different options that Perry Fuel can play with. And the Giants coaching staff talked about this over the bye, how big of a bonus Will Hill was, because he just came back with a chip on his shoulder. He was looking to quiet the skeptics, and he was looking to make a statement, because Will Hill was very effective for this team last season. Not necessarily just on defense, but on special teams specifically. So the fact that he can give them a lift in both of those facets is really a huge bonus for the Giants, and I think that's another reason why the defense has taken some big positive steps in the right direction. And for the sake of the Giants in the consistency department, it's going to be key that they continue that, whether it be against an Oakland Raiders team that's banged up or against the Washington Redskins team that is fully healthy on offense. You know, you have to be consistent. That's what it comes down to, how the Giants can approach these last eight games. If they play up and down Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde football, it's going to be not fun to watch. But if they pick up where they left off in these previous two games, where you saw the defense start to come together, you've seen the offense be able to move the football, but now it's a matter of punching it in and executing in the red zone and getting a little bit more consistency out of the running game and shoring up the special teams, which are things that are correctable. It's not as if the Giants need to address issues that would be impossible to do until the preseason or until training camp or until the offseason. These are things that can be worked out, specifically by getting healthier. And Andre Brown is one of the type of guys that they're looking to help give a lift to this running game. Tom Coughlin was asked about the progress that Andre Brown has been making, and Coughlin said that all signs are looking up right now. He didn't necessarily say how many reps Andre Brown would get or whether or not he would be guaranteed to suit up for the Oakland game, but from what the coaching staff has told the media, it has been very positive, and Andre Brown's been practicing the last few weeks. So I would say, as of right now, barring a setback, Andre Brown should be good to go this Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. As to determine how the carries will balance out, that remains to be seen. Peyton Hillis is clearly going to still be in the mix. You're going to have Michael Cox. They'll have to see whether or not Brandon Jacobs is going to be ready to go, and they'll have to determine whether or not they want to carry that many running backs. Until David Wilson gets the green light, I would assume the Giants are not going to make a move in the running back department. They can't afford to do that because there are so many players that have injury history. Andre Brown has an injury history. Peyton Hillis just came off the street. Brandon Jacobs has not played a lot of football over the last few seasons. And Michael Cox is new to the mix. So you can't afford to part ways with any of them because no one has proven to be an every down game to game back. Therefore, I don't see the Giants making a move with respect to their running back depth chart. If David Wilson is ready to return at some point, then maybe due to the numbers game, they'll have to make a decision. Tom Coughlin was asked about David Wilson on Monday. He said that he is going to continue to undergo some more tests, and once they get those results, they will determine whether or not they will bring David Wilson back into the mix. They'll place him on IR. A lot still has to be worked out. But I think the one thing that you could take away from the comments that were made on Monday was the fact that Andre Brown is taking a step in the right direction. So that's a big positive. Corey Webster is trying to get back to full health so that they'll have some more options in the secondary. Tom Coughlin said Marcus Kuhn has looked good, but they have not decided whether or not they will activate him because the defensive tackle position is one of great depth. And it's a numbers game. If you bring Marcus Kuhn and you activate him, who do you take away? So these are the type of difficult decisions that the Giants are going to have to make this week leading up to the Oakland game. But clearly yesterday they started to turn their attention to a Raiders team that, and I know a lot of you will take your calls momentarily, you're looking at this team on paper and you're saying this is going to be a cakewalk for the Giants. This is not even going to be an issue. They are going to be strong. They are going to be consistent. They're going to be able to run the football. They're going to be able to pass the football. It should not be a problem when you look at how this Raiders defense has performed. But Oakland is a dangerous team. And the reason I throw that out is there have been some teams that have overlooked the Raiders this season, and that has not led to positive results. And they have some weapons. They may not be named commodities. They may not be Pro Bowl-esque players. But if you don't play up to them, and you play down to them, they will take full advantage of that. And when you look at the Oakland Raiders' schedule so far this season, they played Indianapolis very tight in week one. Terrell Pryor was one better pass away from potentially getting a go-ahead touchdown. He threw a late interception when Oakland got in the red zone. That's what cost them that game. They beat Jacksonville in week two. They lost to Denver in week three, but probably up to that point, the Raiders' defense actually played Peyton Manning closer than any other defense had up to that point. So that was at least a step in the right direction for the Raiders. They lost to the Redskins 24-14. That was a game, for the most part, that Washington had dominated. San Diego, they wound up beating. That was a game that was pushed back because of the conflict with the Oakland A's Coliseum and the Raiders, who share the same stadium. They had to work out the kinks in terms of the MLB playoffs and the NFL games, so therefore they pushed that game late, and Oakland took full advantage of the late start. Apparently San Diego came out sluggish and was never really in that contest. They lost to Kansas City. That was a lopsided affair. They knocked off the Steelers. That was at home, and they clearly had a lopsided loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. So a very up-and-down team. You started off with a loss, Oakland, then you got a win, you lost two, you won a game, you lost, you won a game, you lost. So the last four contests, they've alternated wins and losses. They are not coming off the bye. The Giants are. They're well-rested. They've had opportunity to scheme for Oakland a little bit during the bye week. They've had an opportunity to reflect on the first eight games, and right now the Giants are going to start to get back to work. Hopefully they'll get back to full health. We'll know some more updates as we get closer to the game on Wednesday and Thursday. Figure they're going to have to make a decision eventually on Marcus Kuhn because the deadline is this week. And then Andre Brown, there will have to be a decision made as to whether or not they're going to have him suit up. And if they do, then they'll have probably a better idea how the carries are going to balance out. But I would assume even if Andre Brown comes back, Peyton Hillis is not going to be phased out of the equation. You will definitely still see him in the mix. He has really provided a boost, at least as a receiver. They're not all of a sudden going to take him out of the mix. And Michael Cox will probably get a few of the remaining carries. It'll be a three-headed monster until perhaps a Brandon Jacobs or a David Wilson return, and then they'll have to probably make a decision based on the numbers. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head to the lines. We go to Brian in New York. Brian, what's happening?
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Brian. What you got?
Well, on my fantasy team, I'm having a rough time deciding who I'm going to put on my starting lineup here. I have two receivers for the New York Giants, which on a fantasy league is kind of, you know, iffy this year. But I started out with Victor Cruz. He was pretty reliable for me for a little while, even though they didn't have any wins. Then he started, like, slowing down. I'm not in a PPR league. And I also have Ruben Randall. And I'm tearing out my hair thinking of who I should put in.
Well, from a consistency standpoint, Brian, Victor Cruz, although his numbers haven't necessarily jumped off the page the last few weeks, and I can relate because I have him also on a fantasy team, he's the most consistent Giants receiver. And I know you're not in a PPR league, but I'd be hard-pressed to bench Victor Cruz. Reuben Randall has been good. He's shown some flashes. He'll give you a game where he scores two touchdowns. But keep in mind, they've been using Jarrell Jernigan in the last game. Reuben Randall did not see nearly as many snaps. I'm not saying that that's going to be a trend moving forward. Personally, if I had to make a choice between the two and you couldn't start both, I'd probably lean towards Victor Cruz.
All right.
Is that all? You got it, Brian. Thanks so much for weighing in. All right. We give out fantasy advice here on Giants.com as well. See, we don't shy away from just reality. We give you fantasy. We give you reality. Whatever you want to talk about on a Tuesday morning here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow with you. We are with you till around 10:30 in the morning. John Schmelk will be joining us a little bit later on to continue to break down the Giants-Raiders matchup. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Ian in New Jersey. Ian, what's happening?
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, Ian. What you got?
All right. I just want to know if Andre Brown's able to start this week because I'm doing a pool with my buddies, and I actually love Andre Brown, but I'm not sure if he's going to be back this week.
Well, right now, I think barring a setback, Ian, Andre Brown should suit up. He has practiced the last few weeks before the bye. Tom Coughlin was optimistic based on what he told reporters on Monday. So, like I said, I would assume that you could pencil in Andre Brown to see some action. I'm not going to go out and say that he's going to carry a full load on Sunday. They're probably going to phase him in slowly, but he will play a role if he's fully healthy because clearly they're hurting in the running back department right now.
But do you know who's going to be starting for the running back slot?
If Andre Brown and Peyton Hillis are the two primary running backs and David Wilson and Brandon Jacobs can't return, I think it's probably going to be a 50-50 split. It doesn't really make a difference at the end of the day who starts because they're probably going to split the majority of the carries. You may see Peyton Hillis on those third down situations. Probably he'll also handle some of the goal line work, and Andre Brown will be phased in on first and second down. I don't want to say definitely that Andre Brown will start. I think Peyton Hillis, from a consistency standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they have him start. Andre Brown, though, by the end of the game, is still going to get his fair share of reps.
Thank you.
You got it, Ian. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. You can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. A little surprise. We got a fantasy question. We got a pool question. Not something that we always talk about, but like I said, we welcome all topics here on Giants.com. Maybe Ann from D.C. yesterday scared everybody away because normally people want to strategize. I was stunned that we haven't fielded a call yet about the Green Bay Packers situation because normally Giants fans look ahead a little. And I figured everybody was watching the Monday night game, Packers-Bears. The fact that the Bears won is not necessarily the big storyline. The big storyline is, in 2 weeks, the Giants host the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, one of the healthiest quarterbacks in the NFL. He's missed one or two games during the course of his career, and it was because of a concussion. Had nothing to do with a shoulder and arm injury. Takes a bad hit, and that's just another example of what happens when you don't have a strong offensive line. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked plenty of times during the course of the last few seasons. Shea McClellan throws him into the ground. And the reports now are saying that it's a small fracture in the collarbone and he could potentially miss about 3 weeks. Giants get him in 2 weeks. That means that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to be sidelined for that contest. Who will be under center remains to be seen. But you're talking about another opportunity for the Giants. And I don't like to get too ahead of myself in terms of starting to speculate and say, okay, well, if the Giants win this game, this is going to open up for them. But let's take it from a hypothetical standpoint here for a second. They've won two in a row. And momentum is a big thing when it comes to the NFL. You click at the right time, and Giants fans, you know this based on their Super Bowl run a few years ago. They weren't necessarily the most consistent team in the regular season, but they started playing their best football. They got healthy at the right time. And I'm not trying to build a parallel between this year and 2011. However, you look at the opposite end of this bye, they're getting healthier, and they've started to play better football the last 2 weeks. If they can now take care of business at home, you beat Oakland. The Green Bay game without Aaron Rodgers potentially is maybe not as detrimental, not as challenging as it appeared on paper at least a few weeks ago. You start to get this winning streak going. You build off of it, and then you see that Dallas game on the 24th. If they could head into that game, hypothetically, with a four-game winning streak, Dallas has New Orleans, then they're on bye. You could all of a sudden have an opportunity to tie for the division lead, depending on what takes fruition with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins. And once again, we're getting ahead of ourselves with this type of conversation, but the reason I bring it up is because the fact that the Packers could potentially be without Aaron Rodgers. The NFC North is all of a sudden somewhat wide open. The NFC East, we know, is a division that is fairly wide open because no team in that division is running away from things. You know, outside of the Seattle Seahawks, a lot of these divisions are highly contested where no one is in a position to be a juggernaut. And the same thing can be said for the AFC. Now, the Giants are fortunate because they're in a division where even at 2-6, the mathematics still work out in your favor. But at the end of the day, the Giants, their margin for error is minute. They have to win their remaining divisional games. You cannot afford to lose in your division because of the tiebreaker situation, which had haunted them in seasons prior. But they also need to build consistency. Getting a win 1 week, a loss 1 week, win two, lose two, you know, that's not going to do any good for them. They need to get a stretch where you're building from 1 week to another. And the defense is built from 1 week to another. The offense, I think, has taken steps once again. Against Oakland, the two goals to me, on paper, from an offensive perspective, capitalize in the red zone when you get there. And I mean score touchdowns, not settle for field goals. And number two, get the running game going. Outside of just serving as a security blanket for Eli Manning, they need to get back to where they can get about 4 to 5 yards a carry. And that's not necessarily going to happen overnight. But if the offensive line can pass protect consistently and they can continue to build some holes, this running game should be able to pick up. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Chris in New Jersey. Chris, what's happening?
Hi, Lance. Thanks for taking my call.
Not a problem. What you got?
Hey, Lance, you know, I'm looking at these, looking at November. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, under Tom Coughlin, the past, almost 10 years, I guess he's been coaching. We always start off fast, 5-3, 6-2. November, as November always rolls around, all Giant fans are like, all usually, all right, here we go, November, our normal losing streak is about to happen. So I'm looking at this, kind of being reversed. We started out slow. And now maybe November we change things. Now we go on our winning streak. Let's win the next three games in November and turn around that November swoon that usually happens and maybe have a reversal. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I think things set up that way, Chris, in terms of they got the slow start out of the way, perhaps, and then now this is an opportunity to build off of the two victories that they had before the bye and try to ride that momentum out. But I think, as you mentioned, they've got a golden opportunity sitting in front of them. Three games at home as the weather starts to get cold. You're clicking at least on offense and defense somewhat. They've got to take care of business at home, Chris, to get at least amped up about what's ahead of them moving forward. Because if they don't take care of business in these next three games, all it's going to do is be an up-and-down type of affair, and they're going to need an awful lot of help if they want to get back into the mix.
Right, and Lance, one more thing.
Sure.
Do you think this weekend, now that Gilbride's kind of loosened up of going for the home run all the time, you know, with these short passes to the backs, keeping Eli a lot of the passes shorter, do you feel like Gilbride, with that extra week, is going to go back to doing the same thing of like in the beginning of the season or normally going for big shots downfield? Or do you think he's going to keep the same formula of hitting the backs out of the field like Hillis and Andre Brown if he's playing? Or do you feel like he's going to be, you know, taking the big shots again?
I think that they're going to try to follow the same game plan that's worked the last few weeks, Chris, because at the end of the day, Payton Hillis has shown that he can consistently catch the ball out of the backfield, and you can continue to get first downs without having to necessarily go for that 40 to 50-yard bomb. Eli Manning's always going to try to take his fair share of chances down the field, but the last few weeks, he hasn't pressed the envelope. I think Gilbride has gone into Manning and said, listen, there's no harm in just taking the 5-yard pass to Payton Hillis, and Andre Brown, as you mentioned, is now back in the mix, so he's another running back that he can utilize in the passing game. I don't see things drastically changing, though. At the end of the day, Chris, it is important for them to get back to this big passing game, at least have a flash here or there, because
sure,
that's what's made this offense click in seasons past. They can't be so one-dimensional where it's just dump off, dump off, dump off. Eventually, you got to hit that big play.
Right, right. And Lance, I know I said one more thing, but I don't want Rodgers to be out for the year. If he's out for a few games, that's great. I don't wish injuries on anybody, but it would be nice if he misses. Being a Giants fan, I do always skeptical about the backup quarterbacks because we've gotten burned in the past so many times from these backups. I could see a guy like Matt Flynn possibly getting picked up again by Packers and playing in that game in a couple weeks, and I'm a little scared of that because I know these backup quarterbacks, we've seen it before against the Giants where they come in and they play like world beaters.
And that's a great point, Chris, and thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate you weighing in. 201-939-4513. As Chris mentioned, numerous backup quarterbacks have had a great deal of success against the Giants, specifically in the last few seasons, and the last thing the Giants want to do is get caught off guard. There's speculation about Matt Flynn rejoining the Packers, and it's all speculation at this point. There's nothing solid that we can go with. But you figure, based on Seneca Wallace's struggles on Monday night, Green Bay is going to explore its options, especially if Aaron Rodgers is going to be down for multiple weeks. Matt Flynn, who was with the Seahawks, was with the Raiders, things didn't pan out. He was with the Bills. He was put on waivers, assuming he clears. You know, Green Bay, you would think, would at least toy with the idea of bringing back a quarterback who is familiar with the system, knows Mike McCarthy, and is familiar with the personnel. And that means that he could be in line, assuming all the cards line up in his favor, to start against the Giants. I mean, like I said, at this point, the Giants need to focus more so on the Oakland Raiders than who they're going to play against the Green Bay Packers. And I know Giants fans always like to look ahead because you see the injury news with respect to Aaron Rodgers, and you see in 2 weeks everything's starting to click in favor of the Giants. They may avoid one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Right now, it could be Seneca Wallace. It could be Matt Flynn. It could be another guy that we're not even thinking about. Or it could be Aaron Rodgers, and maybe these reports are a little too ahead of themselves. So we don't know at this point who the Giants are going to have to see in 2 weeks. Right now, their focus should be on Terrell Pryor, who is a mobile quarterback and will present his own challenges.
I was hoping to step in here and give some news that Rodgers could be out for a little while, and you already have it.
Well, did you think that we were going to overlook that big fact? Did you really think we were going to wait for you to walk in here?
I was just walking by the TV in the cafeteria coming down from my meeting. I saw it on ESPN. It said breaking news. I thought it had just broken. I didn't realize it had been out for a while.
Well, I know you had an early start to the morning, so that's a reasonable excuse. But Monday night, I think the news started to break. There was some speculation on the internet.
Well, look, there was a worry that he might be out for a while, but now they're saying, you know, slight fracture, 3 weeks. I didn't realize that timetable was out there yet.
Well, Mike McCarthy, I listened to his entire postgame presser on Monday night. He was very chippy. He was taking whatever you take sometimes from morning to morning because he was very feisty with the reporters, and they had pressed him about what's the latest with Aaron Rodgers. He's undergo further tests, and then they kept pressing him about it.
I must admit, I did not stay up for the Mike McCarthy post-Packer Bear press conference.
I did not assume that you were doing that.
I barely made it through the game, to be honest with
yes.
you. I was literally falling asleep on my couch in the fourth quarter. I'm still trying to get over the cold. I'm trying to get a good night's sleep.
Well, how are you making progress? By the way,
a slight improvement, I'd say.
Notice how I am wearing my usual headset in case you weren't aware.
Are you really?
Of that. Yes, because I am trying to protect myself. I would like to last through
I
the
think
duration
that's wise,
of the
though.
Okay.
I'm not sure that germs will last on a headset over a 24-hour period.
I don't take anything for granted.
I don't think the incubation period goes that long. But smart move on your part. I won't disagree.
We need to have the staff, the Giants broadcast team in one piece come Sunday, especially with the weather starting to change. And you can tell that other people in the surrounding area seem to be catching whatever you have brought to the Giants training facility.
I'm going to steal some of your Frosted Flakes.
Absolutely.
Like
it's a group cereal,
you
as
I like to
call
it. You guys should have seen how excited Lance was when he noticed they had Frosted Flakes in the cafeteria last week. He goes, how did I miss this, John? How did I miss it?
I'm a little disappointed. It's a bad job by me because I've been here for numerous years and I've always looked past the Frosted Flakes. I've always gone to the rice Chex, which are also a favorite of mine. A fulfilling breakfast, I may add.
Well, now you have a corn and you have a rice.
There we go. We're balancing things out. We're getting all the nutrients, all the vitamins.
Well, you need this brand now, and then you'll be good.
Well, I did have an English muffin, too, in case we want to go over the details of breakfast.
I just like the fact that Lance has welcomed himself to the full service of
yes.
the Giants cafeteria as a freelance employee.
Well, I was here a little bit earlier than usual, so I figured you weren't here to occupy the conversation. I had some time on my hands.
Oh, so you actually showed up more than 5 minutes
there
before the show.
There we go. Yes, exactly.
Well done.
Well, you know, unlike you, I actually had to be up for the postgame presser Monday night for the Packers Bears.
That's fair. Let me guess. You're on what, like 2 to 4 last night?
Till 3.
1 to 3?
Yes. right after the game.
Do you guys carry that full post game on Mad Dog?
No,
Radio
we go into it a little bit here or there. We play clips.
So you like jump in back and forth.
Correct, exactly. Oh, okay. So, what are your thoughts about anything else as we like to cover here this morning?
I have taken the show completely off course.
Yes, you have, apparently.
I have swerved
We've covered breakfast,
into the barrier.
Your health, anything else. Plus, you know, I got a fantasy question to start the show.
Ooh, I have a good suicide pool question for you, too. But what's your fantasy question to start
Well, no,
the show?
Somebody had called up, and actually you might as well chime in on it. They had the dilemma of who they should go with in terms of starting from a Giants receiver standpoint, Victor Cruz or Ruben Randle, because Victor Cruz's numbers haven't been what he normally puts up week to week.
I think you still have to go Cruz.
That's what I said.
You got a chance he catches one from 8 or 10 yards and takes it to the house. I just think there's a better chance of him coming up with a couple big plays here or there.
And Ruben Randle, as good as effective as he's been in terms of getting some touchdowns here or there, the last game against the Philadelphia Eagles, he was nowhere to be found. So you take a risk when you throw in Randle.
You got to stick with Victor Cruz. You have to.
Most consistent.
And here's my dilemma for you. Next week, you know, one of these knockout suicide pools. I'm one of like 12 people left in the big FAN pool. So, you know. That's obviously a big pride thing there. You want to beat everybody. And really, no one is left in that pool from the on-air talent over there. So I'm basically like the last man standing. It's a lot of like salesmen and, you know, people on the periphery, friends of friends. So I would like to think that I'm the favorite in the clubhouse right now.
Now, have you been bragging about this on the blog that
no,
goes
not
up
at
on
all.
Fan?
Well, not
you know,
all.
You have an opportunity to pat yourself on the
not
back
at
a
all.
Few more times.
Not at all. But I have won this before, before I started working here back in 2006. So this could be a repeat championship. Anyway.
So what's the situation?
Next week, I've used my plan of action in these knockout polls are generally early season NFL. You don't know who's going to win. So what you try to do is, you know, pick the team regardless of saving team. Just pick whoever you can to survive in advance. That's what I've done. I'm still alive. This is when it gets tricky. So, this week, I really have two choices. I have the Giants taking on the Oakland Raiders in MetLife Stadium. Choice number one. Choice number two, and I got Dan Salamone's opinion on this yesterday. And choice number two would be the Tennessee Titans hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars.
How many times have you picked an opponent against Jacksonville?
Only once.
Just once,
yes.
Really?
Correct.
Wow.
They put a lot of home games. One of my rules is I do not pick road teams until you get to the very nitty-gritty end of this thing because I think home teams always with a decent chance of pulling upset.
No other option, just those two?
I mean, let's go through the games. I already picked Seattle going against Minnesota, going against Atlanta, Washington at Minnesota.
I'd stay away from the Thursday game is way too risky.
Detroit at Chicago. I mean, I guess you could consider Detroit if Cutler's not going to play, but again, I think McNown looked pretty good yesterday, to be quite honest with you. So I wouldn't touch that game. It's a division game, too. You never know in division games what's going to happen. Philly, Green Bay, can't touch that. St. Louis, Indianapolis, I've already picked the Colts. I can't go there. Buffalo at Pittsburgh.
Who knows who's
going to
win that
Who knows who's going to win that game. Cincinnati at Baltimore, you can't touch that division game. Carolina at San Francisco.
That's a tough game, too, now.
I've picked the 49ers anyway. So.
But Carolina could win that game. They're playing very good
Carolina
football.
Carolina is playing good
Turn
football.
Turn things around.
Houston at Arizona, you obviously don't want to go there. Denver at San Diego, I've picked the Broncos. But even so, that could be a tough game for Denver to win. Dallas at New Orleans, I have picked the Saints. And even so, the way Dallas has almost beaten Denver this year and almost beat Kansas City, I wouldn't be comfortable going in that game either. Then Miami at Tampa Bay, who the heck knows who's going to win that game?
I like Tampa Bay in that game, to be honest with you. With what the Dolphins are dealing with on and off the field, a road game Monday night, I could see Tampa Bay getting their first win of the season.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Like I said, the options
You're right.
this week are quite
so
limited.
So it's got to be those two.
It's tough. Because I really think the Giants are going to win this week.
I do, too.
But they've been, I mean, the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this Giant team over the years, coming off of byes, they've been fairly inconsistent. I believe 6-3, is that right, Samuel? That was in your 10 things you need to know this week on Giants.com.
Well, he had 2 weeks to get a head start on that, I'm assuming.
Yeah. There were a couple negative ones this week in your top 10 things to know. I was very surprised by that. Usually try to keep it positive.
Well, we balance things out here on Giants.com.
Okay.
Everything can't be lollipops and rainbows.
Unlike your life, which is
yes, exactly.
Lollipop and
oh, absolutely.
Anyway, so it's a very tough decision.
I would go with the Giants. I think you need to take into consideration a West Coast team traveling to the East Coast. They haven't done too well.
I think that's
historically.
A great point. I agree with that.
Darren McFadden banged up, backup running back, and
also
the Giants
fair.
Have done good against the run.
The Raider offensive line, by the way, is a mess.
Correct. And granted, I think the Raiders defense is going to have a better performance. I don't necessarily think the Giants are going to score 49 points. But I don't see how all of a sudden they're going to pull off a 180 in the span of a week. So I would think that the Giants is a safe bet here to make that selection.
See, here's what I'm more worried about a team coming off of a blowout like that than I am a team coming off a win. I feel like they're going to be very chippy. They'll be a little annoyed. They'll want to go out and prove people wrong. That's just my feel.
I don't know. But here's the thing. Tennessee, to me, has not been necessarily a dominant team this season.
If you look at their schedule and results, they've played some better games than you might think this year. I went through it yesterday. It wasn't bad. They've actually had a couple decent wins.
St. Louis, they were going up against Kellen Clemens, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Kellen Clemens. That game was very close.
Last week's win was not one of their more impressive performances. I agree.
They lost to San Francisco, and that game was about 31-3, I think, until they scored two late touchdowns. So that doesn't necessarily reflect how lopsided that game was.
Won at Pittsburgh, blew out the Jets, beat the Chargers, played the Seahawks within a touchdown at Seattle. They had a lead in that game, actually, if memory serves you right, in that contest. Only lost to the Chiefs by 9. They were right in that game. So they've been pretty good. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, look, I think the Giants are a better team than Tennessee. But I think Oakland, obviously, is a much better team.
That's fair.
Than Jacksonville. I mean, dude, look at what Jacksonville's done this year. They haven't even been in games. They stink.
But it's the one game that you think that it's going to be smooth sailing. And I know this game is in Tennessee. This game would scare me a little bit. That's why I would lean towards the Giants.
Interesting.
What did Dan say?
Dan said go the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm at about 50-50 here with people I've asked. I think I'm like 4-4 in terms of people giving me recommendations on this. It's tough.
Tennessee, I know you just ran through the scores. That, to me, still is not a dominant team. I'm sorry. A lot of close games. A lot of close games that the Titans have played, even against teams that you would think on paper that they should roll over.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a dominant team, though. I'm looking for a team to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Trust me, if I look at you in the booth on Sunday and you're sweating out a 1 o'clock game, trust me, in the fourth quarter and the Titans are up by a field goal, and you're looking over to me and you're like, why did I listen to him? Why did I listen to him?
All right, well, we will reconvene on this on Friday.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to have some sleepless nights ahead.
I have a few days to ruminate on this.
Okay, here's another thing to consider. I don't know if you do. Do you look at maybe Tennessee's upcoming opponents when another opportunity to pick them?
I don't think either team I would use again this season, to be honest with you. I mean, the Giants
have a very,
very
tough schedule. Correct.
Go the rest of the way. And Tennessee, I mean, the only other team you would use Tennessee against, they play Jacksonville again.
Again.
But in Jacksonville.
So you would think Jacksonville would have a better chance to win at home?
Eh.
Possibly.
Whatever. But at that point, Tennessee could be going for a playoff spot, too. If you look at the Titans' schedule, it's actually very, very easy the rest of the way, which is why I think they actually have a pretty darn good chance of making the playoffs this year. Chris Russo was going through this the other day on Twitter. I figured you'd be following.
On Twitter, wow.
Your leader and master on Twitter, Lance Meadow. He controls your destiny. You should be, you know, better following him.
Clearly, I need to fit that into my very open schedule.
Yeah, they have two games against the Colts, one against Denver, but Jacksonville, Oakland, Arizona, Jacksonville, and Houston, all very winnable games for the Titans. And they're, what, 4-4 right now, Tennessee?
Tennessee is 4-4, correct.
Yeah. So, it's tough.
Well, there's a number of teams in the wild card conversation in the AFC.
There are. And I'm also debating where other people are going to go this week in this. Are more people going to go, you think, Tennessee, or more people going to go Giants?
You can't worry about that.
I always like to go opposite.
See, if you're so excited about still being the only talent that is still alive in this so-called pool.
I don't put myself in that category. Well, I'm just, you know.
You got to look big picture here. You can't worry about what the opposition is doing. See, this is where you're going to set yourself up to be eliminated if you keep thinking that.
That's fair.
I'm just warning you.
I think it's a legitimately tough decision. I think the Giants are going to win the football game. I really do. I feel very confident about it. But we also feel very confident the Giants would beat Carolina in week number 3. That did not work out too well.
Based on the fact that their secondary struggled, you're right. And Oakland has a defense on paper that has improved based on last season.
They were very good until last week.
Well, I don't know what happened last week, but clearly they weren't defending too many people.
And Terrell Pryor is a very unique quarterback, and I could see him pulling some long runs on the Giants' defense. His plays break down. I could see it. Wouldn't it be beyond the realm of possibility?
You know what I'm curious? I haven't looked at the Oakland Raiders' schedule too well. Have they made numerous trips to the East Coast? I want to see how they fare.
You know what's funny? I actually asked somebody that question a while ago. I do not believe so.
They hosted Jacksonville, so they didn't visit them.
At Indianapolis would be the closest thing to an East Coast trip that they would have had.
So they really had – this is going to be their first cross-coast trip.
And they got a couple coming up. They need to go to Dallas, which is obviously a central time zone, and then to go to the Jets on December 8th. So they will be in MetLife Stadium twice in the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
They actually have four road games in the next five. They had a lot of home games in the first half of the season. They were only on the road three times. So it's going to be somewhat lopsided the second half of the season.
They've actually led at halftime in five of their first seven games.
Well, they're a vastly improved team, as you mentioned. It's not as if these are the Raiders of old.
Yeah, 10 of 11 new starters on defense from last year. Terrell Pryor, obviously, you know, Matt Flynn was going to be their quarterback. Terrell Pryor simply outplayed him in the preseason, earned the job. Short passing game, they'll throw to the running backs and tight ends a lot. But, boy, their offensive line is a mess. They've had, I think, nine different offensive line combinations over the course of the season. It makes the Giants feel a lot better about their offensive line issues. And Matt McCants has been starting at right tackle the last 4 weeks.
Who was claimed off waivers.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, for lack of a better word, a bit of a, you know, it was a running joke here for a little while about his play in the preseason. But he's been their starting right tackle, and he's getting better. He's a young guy. He's an athlete. So the Giants should have some opportunities to maybe finally get that pass rush going with four men and not having to blitz so much.
Well, and assuming they can stop the run again, as they've done the last few weeks, that should hopefully play right into their favor where they can get to the quarterback.
And I know McFadden's hurt again, probably not going to play, but Rashad Jennings is actually a pretty good football player. He can run the ball a little bit. He's started on a lot of teams, so do not discount him getting a lot of carries.
Well, he backed up Maurice Jones-Drew in Jacksonville for a few seasons. Right. So he has had plenty of experience, and he's had plenty of experience this season because, as you mention each and every week, Darren McFadden is bound to have an injury eventually.
Remember how good he was supposed to be coming out of college, and he has just been an absolute bust. Shows you, man, running backs, first 10 picks, first 20 picks even, unless you know you're getting a star, be very careful with that. I mean, look, Trent Richardson's not a bad player, but he seems to be a very average running back at this point.
I'm actually surprised that he hasn't been that effective with Indy. You know, playing with Andrew Luck and company, you would have thought that he would have picked up and then some from where he left off at Cleveland. Hasn't necessarily panned out that way.
Has not done the job. I wonder how good their offensive line is at running the football because they didn't have a lot of success last year either with a different set of running backs. So it's a good question, but I don't know.
All right, let's head back to the lines, and then we'll get to a few more nuggets about the Oakland Raiders as we get you set for Sunday's game at MetLife Stadium, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. We go to our good friend Dave, who is in Rochester. Dave, what's happening?
Fellas, good morning. Wanted to check in. Johnny, how you doing, baby? Just wanted to check in, see how Lance's apartment's coming. How's that going on? I got a little something for you.
Oh, you do? Well, it is settling in very nicely. I appreciate you asking. As John mentioned, the race car bed has been set up. I have the Spider-Man sheets and the Superman sheets. I get to alternate week by week, depending on when I do the laundry.
Now, and here's the beauty of it. Lance doesn't know about this, but me and Dave have made a deal. I've hired Dave to paint one of your walls, a huge Paul Dottino mural. Doing one of his comments.
It has to be his Twitter handle. That's what it's got to be.
Well, I was thinking, man, I'm going to be up in New York about Christmas time. I thought maybe we all get together. Maybe we'll get Mike Farmer. We'll get some shakes. We'll get some chicken heads, some ladies, maybe get some tequila. We come on over. We party it up in the new spot, and, you know, we'll hang out. We'll get Tatino, have him come over, give him some drinks in him, see what he does.
I don't know if you want to see what he does with a couple of drinks in him, but listen, Dottino seals the deal. If we could get Dottino to buy in, I would definitely consider that.
Dude, Paul Dottino has like an invisible barrier. He will not go east of the Hudson River. He won't. Paul's a Jersey guy. He does not want to go east of the Hudson.
You put Paul Dottino in a car listening to Bruce Springsteen, he's in heaven.
Oh, man. Well, maybe we'll tell him it's like Johnny's bachelor party. And we'll tell them some ladies will be there, and we'll have maybe Ann from D.C. can jump out of the cake or something. I don't know. and then, you know, we'll see what's up. Maybe. I don't know. Just a thought. I'm going to be out that way. I thought maybe we get together, have some cocktails, whatever.
Thanks, Dave. But, you know, what do you got for us?
Bill Bush. I was thinking, man, the Chiefs, we spent a lot of time talking about linebackers and fans. I'd like to talk about it. I'm wondering what's going on. I know you guys expressed the fact that it's not a need that much anymore, how things have changed in the NFL. But I thought it was interesting, and I just wanted your take. The Chiefs linebackers have a combined, I think, 20 sacks going into Sunday's game. I don't know if that's gone up, if they got any more this weekend. But can you see that? Can you maybe see even the Giants looking at that combination and people kind of restirring the fact that maybe linebackers can make a difference? Maybe we can build on this with Beeson being on the team.
Well, it's a little bit different because Kansas City runs a 3-4, so 3-4 defenses rely on their outside linebackers to really put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, while on the 4-3 defense, you're counting on your defensive ends to do that. So I think it's a little bit different, but look, are linebackers as important as they were in, say, the early 90s, mid-90s? No, but look, you still need guys in the middle of that defense. With all the passes to the tight ends now, with all the screen passes and passes to the running backs in these West Coast systems, playing against the read option, things like that, you need good linebackers. And look, we've seen it from them. By the way, the Raiders have a linebacker that the Giants could have drafted in the middle rounds this year, Sio Moore out of UConn, who's had a very good year for them. So, look, linebackers are important. The Giants still need to make some improvement in that spot, even with the addition of John Beeson.
Gotcha. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Talk to you later.
All right, Dave, you got it. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. We're also checking out Twitter.
Oh, what do you got?
Hashtag Giants Chat. A couple of people asking about the Giants running game, which I addressed off the top of the show, but we'll rehash that as NF Jintz asks, what are we doing with the running backs? Well, Tom Coughlin spoke to the media on Monday, mentioned that Andre Brown continues to make progress. I say barring a setback, John, all signs point to him suiting up against Oakland with Payne and Hillis, the two of them probably shouldering the load.
Signs also point to, however.
Reverse.
Wow. Him getting very limited carries. I think they're going to try to bring him back slowly. That's what Andre said talking to the media yesterday. So I wouldn't expect more than 5 to 8 carries from Andre Brown, and I think you'll get most of them to Payne Hillison. Maybe if Brandon James is healthy, he might pick up a half dozen to 10 as well. Maybe they'll split it three ways.
And in terms of perhaps parting ways with a running back, I don't think they're in a position to do anything, John, until they know more about David Wilson, who is supposed to undergo further tests, and once they get those results back, they'll determine whether or not they need to place him on IR or they still have an opportunity to bring him back.
Did you go through any of the assistant coach stuff?
Did not have a chance to do that. We got into a lot of other topics, cereal, breakfast, you know, the ins and outs of Monday Night Football.
There were 45 minutes before I showed up, and I realized you like the sound of your own voice a lot.
I do indeed. Not going to deny that.
But you could have went through some of the assistant coach stuff.
Well, I wanted to wait for you. You were very excited about the topic. You teased it tremendously.
I did.
And effectively on Monday, so I didn't want to steal your thunder. We go through the Nuggets. We touch a little bit on the assistant coaches, and then perhaps we take a few more phone calls.
Well, what was some of your take from the assistant coach stuff last week?
Well, I was impressed with what all of them said because I like them going into greater detail than what maybe Tom Coughlin, Gilbride, and Fuel can do on a weekly basis. I thought probably the stuff about the secondary was of greatest interest to me, with Dave Merritt and Peter Guenta talking about the return of Will Hill, what he's done for the secondary, moving Antrell Roll around, how he's willing to play corner, he's willing to play safety depending on the allotment. So those were some interesting tidbits that the assistants brought to the forefront about the secondary. Because I think, other than John Beeson, John, and I've brought this up time and time again, don't overlook the fact that Will Hill's return has also helped turn around this defense.
Yeah, and I talked to Dave Merritt, and I asked him whether or not Will Hill's presence and his ability to play run and pass, much like Antrell Roll, has given him the chance to maybe disguise things a little bit more. He goes, no doubt about it. He can move either one of those guys towards the line, either one of those guys back, and that can really help confuse quarterbacks and create more chances for turnovers in the secondary, no doubt about it. And Terrell Thomas's presence, too, by the way, and his ability to stay healthy, play the slot, has also allowed him to be more creative with those safeties since you have a corner that can play that position.
And I liked what Guenta had shed some more light on how they've been looking at his knee and not trying to overwork him so that he will be ready for some of the bigger games. That's why they had kept him out of that first Eagles contest so they'd have him for the quick turnaround against the Bears.
And now coming off the bye, he has a week of rest on the knee, so we'll see how Terrell Thomas handles the workload going forward. I thought it was interesting from Robert Nunn. I pulled him aside. I don't think this is even on the website. And I kind of asked him, look, the run defense has been so good this year. Is there any type of natural trade-off where you take away some of the pass rush freedom from your defensive line if you want them to be so sound against the run. He goes, yes. You know what? He actually said there is a bit of a trade-off because to be good against the run, you have to stay in your rush lane. You have to be disciplined. You can't, you know, get outside of your area and your zone to open up rush lanes for some of these guys, especially a team like the Eagles who gash you with so many draws and things like that. So I think maybe there's been such a focus on the run, at least on first and second down, where you have lost some of the pass rush because they're trying to be so sound against the run. However, that doesn't make up for the fact that on so many third and longs, and teams have had a bunch of third and longs against the Giants, they haven't gotten the pass rushes in those situations.
Well, and that's probably something that they're going to have to improve on moving forward, because that's the one area I think that the defense has yet to show consistency. They've stopped the run. They've gotten some turnovers recently.
Not consistently enough still, though.
You're waiting for that to pick up, and the quarterback hits have been good, John, but they just haven't brought the guys down. That's the big key, and that's the number that everybody judges. You could sell left and right quarterback hits. That's the statistic that you should really focus on to determine how effective a pass rush is going to be, but everybody gets caught up in sacks, and the sacks just don't jump off the page at this point.
Yeah, it's about consistent pressure. Just get, like you said, the hits. It's making the opposing quarterback uncomfortable in the pocket. Heck, we've made this point with Eli Manning. He hasn't been sacked much the last few weeks, but you still see him at times being uncomfortable in the pocket. One other interesting thing, by the way, in that same regard yesterday, I asked Eli Manning in the media veils, you know, whether or not, you know, what the team can do to get back to making more of the big plays than they've made in years past. And they've gotten away from a bit this year. And he basically outright dismissed the question, not in a rude way, just like, well, look, our focus more right now is to get into more third and manageables, be a lot more patient going up and down the field, have some longer drives, do the short passes. So I just thought it was very interesting. For a guy that always talks about going down the field and making the big play, Eli seemed quite happy about being very, very patient and conservative, doing the short passes, throwing it to the running back, staying in third and reasonable, and using that conservative offensive approach throughout the rest of the year. That's what I got from him. Where, you know, the days of them trying to, you know, chuck and duck down the field might, at least for the time being, because of the offensive line and other factors, be over. They might be sticking with this very much more conservative passing attack that, you know, much more slower, longer drives for touchdowns.
It's funny you brought that up, because Chris from New Jersey, who called in earlier today, was asking about, after the bye, will Gilbride stick to the game plan that's worked the last few weeks, which
sounds
is
like
dump it off to the running backs and not go for the home run? And I said, I think they're not going to change it because it has been fairly effective, and Eli Manning has echoed those sentiments.
Well, it's been effective in that the team has to turn the football over.
Well,
they
haven't
exactly
the
put up a ton of points.
True, but that's more because of red zone struggles. They've gotten down the field.
And the Vikings, they didn't exactly, you know, run up and down the field on them either.
Well, Philadelphia, I thought that there were drives where they've moved the ball. It wasn't as consistent as you would have
first half, sure. The second half, they punted the ball an awful lot against Philadelphia.
The positive to me is they are avoiding the third and tens, the third and 11s, the third and 12s.
Agreed.
And we chart all these third downs each and every week, and the numbers have really come from bottom to at least middle of the pack all of a sudden. So that's a sign that you're facing more manageable situations because Peyton Hillis is eating up some chunks of yards.
Giants still have the highest percentage of third and tens or more of their third downs in football. But the numbers have gotten better the last couple of weeks, no doubt about it.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with us there. A lot of you are chiming in on the conversation. Sneaky Pete 70.
Sneaky Pete.
Yes. Says, will Stevie Brown return?
This year? No.
Not this season, but I'm assuming the question was more geared towards,
I think they'll bring him back,
the offseason.
Look, he's coming off ACL. They'll sign him to a one-year contract, a wait-and-see type of deal. I'd be very shocked if he wasn't back next year. Heck, he's been around the facility the last couple weeks rehabbing. I've seen him around. Very happy to be here. He's very optimistic. I'd be surprised if Stevie wasn't back next year.
And he also throws in, though, it is great having Terrell Thomas back, and we've talked about Terrell Thomas, who, to me, probably had his coming out party. I know Tom Coughlin talked about this in that last victory against the Eagles. He was everywhere. Touchdown-saving tackles, forced fumbles, very active all over the place, seems to have all of a sudden gotten his legs back underneath him. You know, if this is a sign of what's yet to come, that's a good thing for the Giants because they have been plagued by injuries in the secondary, specifically with Corey Webster.
No doubt about it. Look, secondary has been solid all year.
Tremaine McBride, Terrell Thomas, and then you add in the play of Antro Roll, Will Hill, and then you throw John Beeson into the mix, and I know he's not a member of the secondary, but he's at least helped bolster this defense. That, to me, that cluster of players with at least the defensive tackle stopping the run, you know, this is why the defense has taken huge steps and big strides. It's not just by chance.
I'm willing to throw Spencer Paysinger into that mix, too.
And Jaquan Williams has also returned. Not a huge playmaker, but he's been out there.
Yes.
So I think that's why you're seeing the defense pull somewhat of a 180. And I hate turning to injuries and saying, oh, well, once the Giants get healthy, they're going to get back to their old tricks. But in this season, it has been the case. As they've gotten healthier, the level of play has increased immensely.
But again, another quarterback that's more of a runner than a passer this week. We'll see about Aaron Rodgers next week, whether or not he's going to be able to play. Right now, it seems unlikely. But I'd like to see the secondary go up against the top quarterback and see how he does again, to be quite honest with you.
Well, the Giants will be tested even past Green Bay. You're talking about Dallas. Yep. You're talking about Washington twice. San Diego's been very good through the air
season. You go through Romo, RG3, Rivers, Wilson, Stafford, RG3 again. So there you go. It's coming. The test is coming.
There's no break.
All I'm saying is that it's very different when you're playing a team with a top quarterback. And I don't like to – and look, Dallas, for example. They look great against Philly when Nick Foles played against them, and he – I think it's pretty apparent now, was probably hurt in that game, was playing through an injury, and they shut him down. Then all of a sudden, Matt Stafford comes to town, and they give 600 yards of offense. The week before that, they gave 51 points to Denver. So – you know, competition, especially quarterback plays, a lot to do with how well a defense plays.
Well, I think it gets back to the point that you threw out earlier. The key for the Giants defense moving forward against these good quarterbacks is going to be the pass rush. Because right now they've gotten away with limited pass rush because the secondary has played so well and has been able to manage these quarterbacks. But what happens, like you said, when you're going against all of these top-notch quarterbacks week in and week out, if you don't fluster Tony Romo, you don't fluster Phillip Rivers, you don't get Matthew Stafford off guard, they're going to be very comfortable out of the pocket.
And look, those guys are going to make plays. You can only stop the great quarterbacks or the top 10 quarterbacks for so long. These guys are eventually going to make plays on you. That's just the way it goes. That's the way the game is played. It's quarterback back-driven league. So eventually you're going to have to make some plays there. And the Giants' rush defense is going to be tested too. Oakland's one of the best rushing teams in the league this week. That's going to be interesting. Of course, a lot of that's to do with the quarterback, not necessarily the running game from the running back position. But Eddie Lacy has been very good since he's taken over the starting job, averaging, I think, over 100 yards per game since he's taken over as their primary back. He's been very good. When DeMarco Murray is healthy, he's a very good running back. Who knows if he's going to be healthy in 2 weeks when the Giants play Dallas. He's basically another Darren McFadden deal where he can't stay on the field. And then, you know, Alfred Morris is a good player. The Chargers have struggled a little bit. Marshawn Lynch, obviously a very good player. So the Giants' defense will get tested a lot in the coming weeks.
And the Lions have Reggie Bush, who has helped resurrect their running game. They've struggled in the past because they've worked numerous guys in the mix, and Javid Best never panned out for them.
Joique Bell has done well for them, backing up Reggie Bush, and, you know, again, he's a big play guy too. And the Raiders this week, look, I know they got demolished. They gave 7 touchdowns last week. It was a disaster. They have a pretty good defense. Their secondary guys can play. And talking to people around, they're almost like you have to take that Eagle game last week and throw it away. You almost have to treat it like an outlier because it's so unlike everything else they've done over the course of the year. And unlike their offense, which is riddled with injuries, their defense is actually relatively healthy. They've only lost one starter all year, one of their safeties, to an injury. So they're very healthy on defense, and you got some players. Their two DNs can rush a passer a little bit. You got a couple good linebackers with Roach and Burnett. Charles Woodson is still a good player at free safety, no longer a corner. Porter is a good cornerback. First-round pick DJ Hayden is their nickelback. Mike Jenkins,
former
who the
Cowboy.
Giant fans know from the Cowboys, obviously, is over there. He's a good bump-and-run player. So they have some players on defense, and the Giants' offense will have to be on their P's and Q's here if they want to score some points on the Oakland Raiders, because despite what happened last week, they're still pretty darn good. And by the way, big test for the Giants' offensive line this week. Being reconfigured in this new way, which seems like it's going to be this starting group the rest of the year now. They use a lot of different fronts. They try to trick you. They try to fool you. They blitz an awful lot. It's going to be a real challenge to keep Eli Manning protected this week. And I think if there's one danger this week for the Giants, it's Terrell Pryor on offense, running the football on broken plays. And two on defense is protecting your quarterback, because we've seen they've had issues with it so far this year. And the Raiders can get after the quarterback 12 different players with at least one sack this year for Oakland.
And that's a big reason because of all the different fronts that they show. They move and mix and match guys so that, therefore, they're effective in getting lanes to the quarterback.
Blitz from everywhere. Secondary linebacker everywhere.
And piggybacking off of your point about how you've been told that people say dismiss this performance against the Eagles because that was unlike the Raiders' defense, this is a veteran secondary, and it's probably easy for veterans to put a bad game behind them more so than a rookie who's going to have that bad performance stick with him. And DJ Hayden, who is a young guy, did not play very well in that game. Wiley Cooper beat him left and right.
They targeted him all over the field. He had a rough, rough day.
So you would assume that maybe that could be an opportunity for the Giants to take advantage. But the other veterans that you name, the Woodsons of the world, the Porters of the world, these guys have been there, they've done that, and I could see them putting a rough game behind them very easily.
And this is why, you know, the Giants are a good team. They've played well at home, but there are some dangerous aspects of this matchup that will make the game, I think, closer than a lot of people might think.
Well, listen, this is a team that, as I mentioned throughout the course of this show, on paper, they don't wow you.
No.
Because there's not big-name commodities. But when you look through the numbers, they've got some dangerous weapons here. Terrell Pryor is a dual quarterback. You have to account for the run. You have to account for the pass. And this receiving core, you can barely recognize some of these guys. But they can make plays. Denarius Moore is the type of guy that's got the speed to stretch the field. Rod Streeter, you know, I keep throwing out these names because you're going to hear a lot about them throughout the course of this week. That doesn't mean you can take these guys for granted and think you're just going to get away with better talent to stop them.
Streeter also got hurt last week. We'll see if he's able to play this week. But look, Terrell Pryor, the description I got from him, the size of Cam Newton with the speed of Robert Griffin III pre-ACL injury. I mean, he had an 83-yard touchdown run against the Steelers. What was that? Something like that?
I think it was even longer. It was actually, if I'm correct, 93? The longest run by a quarterback in NFL history. Yeah.
It was either 83, 86, or 93. I'm trying to remember. It was one of those three numbers, I think.
We'll look it up right now.
It was 90, Salomon? That should have been in your top 10 things to know. 93.
It was the first touchdown of that game to put him up 7-0. Now, Darren McFadden had two rushing touchdowns in that game. But clearly, it doesn't look like he'll have an opportunity to run against the Giants.
Yet another hamstring for Mr. McFadden. We have been down this path before, folks.
And speaking of injuries, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers getting banged up on Monday Night Football. Here's a name. All the talk's been about Matt Flynn. I actually overlooked this quarterback. This is credit to @JasonForbes91.
Brett Favre.
No, not Brett Favre. Brett Favre. I mean, Clint. And that's already started up, which
would
amaze me.
And folks, I'm joking. Please don't take me seriously. That's a terrible idea.
But this quarterback was with the team this season and is still out there. Vince Young. They may consider bringing him back because he also knows the system. And I'm surprised that no other team has really aggressively gone after him, considering the injuries that we've seen take place across the league.
Bad quarterback.
I still would have thought that some people would take a chance with him.
Remember, Flynn has to go through waivers, too.
Correct.
Since we're after the trade deadline, it's not like the Packers can sign him, and they're like, what, 28th in the waiver process or something like that because of their record? So we'll see if one of those first 26 or 27 teams claims him.
It's funny. I was talking to Nile, who I like to call our tech guru on Giants.com.
He's our tech guru.
He was talking about perhaps if you're another division rival, do you claim Matt Flynn to deprive the Packers an opportunity to get him? You know, if you're the Lions or the Bears or even the Vikings at this point.
The problem, Interesting strategy. The problem with a couple of those is that the Bears actually have injury issues at quarterback, so I'm not sure they can just throw a quarterback into their mix and take up a roster spot when they already have Cutler on the shelf.
Though Cutler's expected to come back this week.
Same for the Vikings. They have Tavares Jackson.
Not Tavares Jackson. Well, they've been through so many quarterbacks, it's hard to keep up.
They have Josh Freeman. They have Jason. They have Ponder, obviously.
And Matt Cassel.
Matt Cassel. So they don't have room for a quarterback on their roster.
I think Dante Culpepper is also campaigning for a job, too.
Who's Matt Stafford's backup in Detroit these days? I don't remember.
Well, they had Stanton, but he went to Arizona.
Right.
It's a good question.
Is it Sean Hill?
Sean Hill's been
there
for numerous years.
That sounds
I just want to confirm to make sure he's still with the team.
That sounds right.
Sean Hill actually got in that game against the Giants where didn't they go through about three quarterbacks? Stanton also, I think, got into that game.
That's right.
Which was here at MetLife Stadium. Let's take a look at the Lions situation.
Giants, of course, visiting Detroit December 22nd, the weekend before Christmas. Nothing says happy holidays like a trip to lovely downtown Detroit in December. Looking forward to that. Maybe we can figure out a way to get Lance on that trip. We can leave him there.
That's always a possibility.
Hang out with your boy Eminem out there, maybe?
Oh, boy. He was actually at a Sirius the other day. It's funny you brought him up.
Oh, did you go up there and
no,
try
I wasn't
to get his
in
autograph?
The facility at the time.
Try to take a picture?
Well, you see, there's only one freight elevator, so two of us can't ride that together. So we have to work out our schedules.
You're an
idiot. You know, I know. But it is what it is. The quarterback situation for the Detroit Lions, Sean Hill and Kellen Moore are the two backups to Matthew
Stafford. Someone could put the claim in on that, I guess. Who does Green Bay have this week?
Green Bay has Philly.
Yeah, Philly doesn't have any room to claim him either. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that would be the only reason to claim him. It's not necessarily that you want to use Matt Flynn. It's that you just want to deprive the Packers from getting a quarterback who knows the system.
I mean, maybe San Francisco or Seattle will be battling Green Bay for home field, something like that. Honestly, I think these roster spots are too valuable for teams to give them away. And you also have to pick up his contract if you claim on waivers, which is, I think, about $1 million they'd have to pay him. So it is what it is.
Seneca Wallace is still in the mix, too. You know, he could very well continue to play under center. He hasn't had a full week of practice as the starter, and you assume he's going to get that at least in the early goings of this week. And they've got a short turnaround. So, you know, even if they sign Matt Flynn this week, or I should say he goes through waivers and they're able to get him, that doesn't mean that they're not going to at least use Seneca Wallace against Philadelphia, and that will probably create even a bigger question mark heading into the Giants game.
You want to give Flynn a chance to reintegrate himself into the system. Just the time for the Giants in a week and a half, and you know how well the Giants often do against backup quarterbacks.
Which was another point brought up earlier in the
show.
Not
well.
Not had a good track
the
record.
The Kurt Kittner game of fame from, what was that, 06 Kurt Kittner? Neely, 06? Yeah, that was a while.
Well, even recently, they've gone up against quarterbacks who have been backups and have at least caught them off guard.
I mean, a little bit. They've done okay against those guys, though, recently.
They've also seen their fair share of quarterbacks in middle of games this season, in case you haven't noticed. I mean, Vic's been knocked out of two, so the two games against Philly. I mean, that's never fun, to have to adjust to a quarterback on the fly.
It's shocking that Josh Freeman actually made it through that game in the Minnesota game. I thought they would yank him at halftime, but they didn't, man. The Vikings lost.
And now they've gone back to Christian Ponder.
And they've looked much better the last 2 weeks with Christian Ponder, a quarterback, actually.
They've nearly knocked off the Cowboys this past week.
And they'll have a chance to roll the dice against
Washington. It's a quick turnaround. And these Thursday night games, you can really throw it out the window. You never know what's going to happen on Thursday night.
It really is like a different animal playing on Thursday. I really don't like the idea of putting a second game on Thursday, by the way. I don't like that at all.
I'm actually in favor of them moving away from the Thursday night games and potentially either double dipping on Monday or making a Saturday night game, to be honest with you.
I'd put a Saturday night game in a second. Look, as an old man, I'm not going out as much on Saturdays. I'm not, you know, me and Lance.
Not playing the market anymore.
Lance is still hanging out in the meatpacking district, hitting all the clubs on these Saturday nights. But, you know, I'm getting a little old for that now. I wouldn't mind having a football game on a late Saturday night to come home and check out after a nice dinner in the city.
You and Len sitting back on the rocking chairs. You know, I mean, that's your style now. You fit right in.
That's true. You get old, Meadow.
There you go. Getting up there in age.
Well, I'm not on the swinging bachelor pad like you do on the west side of Manhattan. I'm not giving the address. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know. I was already worried with you giving the location somewhat.
Manhattan's a big place. I think
you
can hide
I don't
okay.
need, you know, the...
The paparazzi?
That's correct.
Maybe Eminem will come try to get your autograph. No?
Anything's possible. Had I been there, we could have at least discussed that.
I'm pretty sure that's not possible.
He's not a sociable guy, in case you're wondering. I just want to let you know that. At least I've been told
from
sources.
Was there any talk around the Sirius studio about him being antisocial?
Yes, there was. Well, actually, one of my colleagues was trying to get to another studio, and they are such on high alert up there because he has his whole security team and everything that they had to corner off a hallway to let him pass through to get to the elevator so that he could take that down. So everybody was disrupted. Correct. Oh, yeah, a huge posse. Huge posse. I mean, we're talking NFL team-worthy numbers.
Really?
Full offensive line.
Couple dozen guys?
Yeah, absolutely. They could have ran 2-3 wide receiver sets.
Now, one of your coworkers had a run-in with a celebrity at Sirius a couple years ago, and there was a big hubbub about that. The Adam Shine Snooki debacle?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how much truth there is in validity to that story. I've heard so many different versions. But you're right. That did get around Twitter a little. Twitter's a dangerous world, as you well know.
M-E-D-O-W.
Oh, boy, do we ever. Hey, we got to spell it out. It's not a simple name to get through. All right, well, that will wrap up things for us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, as we are with you each and every morning.
Should we pick out the games we want to pick this week before we say goodbye real quick?
See, you told me to wrap up the show, and now you want me to continue it. It's amazing.
Real fast.
You can't make up your mind when it comes to this thing. Well, we probably should pick actually the Thursday game this week.
That's why I brought it up.
Look at this. Wow. Yeah. You put some brain cells together. You're dangerous. So we've got the Redskins-Vikings game, which means that you'll have to get the picks in a little bit earlier this week.
That's fine.
So we will throw that in. Oh, yeah, well, one person in particular is not going to be able to do that.
0-5 this week.
0-6. Hey, you know, we 0-6. Not 0-5. We don't give any shortcuts. We've got to do Philadelphia-Green Bay. That's a given. And Dallas and New Orleans. So those are our three divisional matchups.
Right?
Correct. Then we pick, what, two more games on top of that?
Or one
we do
more.
Four?
We'll
one
do
more.
One more. And then we'll do the wild card. The upset, right. How about Cincinnati at Baltimore?
I'll be honest with you. I like Carolina-San Francisco. I think that's a good game to pick this
week.
Dude,
don't make that your upset special. You want to save that as your upset? Come on, man. Use your noodle here. I'm trying to help you out.
All right. I guess I could go that route. What about Denver-San Diego instead of Cincy-Baltimore? Cincy-Baltimore is boring.
Denver at San Diego, that's going to be a big spring game. Everyone's picking the Broncos.
Lions-Bears? That's another tough game.
That is a divisional game. Lions at Bears. All right. You could sell me on Lions at Bears.
We'll go Lions Bears.
Okay.
That's what I think we should do.
That's
then
fine.
We'll have the upset special in the wild card.
I'll go with that. So we already know who Lance's special loss is going to be.
I'm leaning towards that game.
You did not send that picks for last week, by the way.
Bad no, well, Dan touched base with me. And we determined that with our tech guru across the pond, it would have been very difficult for picks to get in.
Eli's big
so there shot. Was some rationale that went behind why we skipped week 9.
That's fair. That makes sense.
I'm glad that we got your approval because we were a little bit concerned. Dan wasn't able to sleep last week. He was nervous about the picks, and I clearly was all worked up too. Now that you gave your approval, we can move on. We know that things will resume as is.
Now you can wrap the show.
Thank you very much. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for chiming in on the phones and apologize for some of the technical difficulties earlier in the program, but we will have it up and running on Giants.com. in the archives, so you can listen to the full complete show a little bit later on once that goes up. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every morning. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you the next 2 days. John Schmelk and I back Friday to preview the Oakland Raiders matchup, which will come your way Sunday at 1 p.m. at MetLife Stadium. Enjoy the rest of the day. We'll see you all the rest of the week here on Giants.com. Have a good one.